We love to explain quantum physics and the mysteries of the universe, but the mysteries of finance, not so much. Intuit helps you demystify your finances through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Understanding standard deductions or interest rates can be very complicated and tricky, with big potential consequences. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hey, Daniel, you know, sometimes I'm really amazed about how small we are compared to the entire planet Earth. Like, we're tiny compared to this giant ball of rock we're standing on.
It's true. We are really small compared to the Earth. But then on the other hand, the Earth is tiny compared to, like, the other planets.
But even the biggest planet is dwarfed by the size of the sun in our solar system.
Yeah, like 99% of the stuff in the solar system is just the sun.
And the sun, our sun, is not even one of the bigger stars out there. It's like a mini star, right?
Yeah, there are some mongo stars out there. And then, of course, like, all the stars together, the galaxy is just enormous compared to, like, our solar system.
Yeah, and as big as the galaxy is, it's really just one little tiny drop in a vast ocean of galaxies. There are billions of galaxies out there.
That's right. But the galaxies aren't just an ocean. There's really interesting structures there which get bigger and bigger and bigger.
There are things bigger than galaxies?
Oh, yeah. The galaxies are just tiny dots in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating, actually, because it gets bigger and bigger, and then it stops. And at some point, there isn't anything bigger.
Wow. There is actually a biggest thing in the universe.
That's right. And it's not my ego.
Hi, I'm Jorge.
And I'm Daniel.
And welcome to our podcast, Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe.
In which we tackle the small and today, the very, very large things in the universe.
That's right. Today on the podcast, we're going to ask the question, what is the biggest thing in the universe?
Universe. That's right. I thought this is a pretty fun idea. Like, the universe is big, but it's mostly empty, right? Like, most of the stuff in the universe is just emptiness. It's space, right? If you took an average chunk of the universe, it would mostly be pretty empty.
Right.
But it's also filled with really big, big things. You know, I love this the contrast in the scales between the different stuff in the universe.
Right, yeah. And it's all about context, right? Like, something that you think is big, like, you know, the Empire State Building, it's big. But it's only sort of big in a certain context, in a certain scale.
Exactly. You can always zoom out from wherever you are, and whatever you were amazed at, how big it was, then just becomes a tiny dot. And there's some other new structure. You're like, wow, look at that. Look how big America is. Or look how big, you know, the world is. Or look how big the solar system is. It's incredible how many different scales the universe operates on, right?
Right.
Because it could have been different, right? It could have been like the universe is just a bunch of rocks, and each rock is a meter in length, and that's it. And there's no structure, and they're not organized, they're just sort of distributed through the universe, right? It could have been like that.
Just like a haze of rocks.
That's right.
In which case, you would only be able to say that the biggest thing in the universe is like a 1 meter rock.
That's right, yeah. But the universe seems to like to organize. I mean, I don't want to say like, obviously, in a literal way, because the universe doesn't like or dislike anything. But the universe does tend to organize stuff, right, into bigger and bigger objects.
Right.
And whenever it's done organizing something, then it groups those together into objects and groups those together, right? So it's pretty amazing what it's managed to accomplish in only 14 billion years.
Yeah. And so these structures of the universe keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Forever? Or does it at some point stop?
Yeah, so that's what we're going to dig into today. It turns out that there is a biggest thing in the universe. There's a point above which there is no more organization. Everything is just sprinkled evenly through the universe.
Wow. So the question is, what is the biggest thing in the universe?
That's right. Something out there currently reigns supreme as the biggest thing in the universe.
Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive title, right? That's not something that you can just pick up any day. It takes billions of years to work up to it. You got to train, you got to practice, you know.
You got to,
you know, an afternoon's endeavor.
That's right. Lift weights, make stars.
I was thinking more like eat a lot of pizza, you know, this kind of stuff. You got to gather mass here. We're not trying to lose it, right?
The biggest thing in the universe. Yeah. So we were wondering how many people out there knew the answer to this question. What is the biggest thing in the universe? And I think, Daniel, you sort of imagined that most people would say that galaxies are the biggest thing, right?
Yeah, I actually started out asking people just what's the biggest thing in the universe, because I was thinking about, you know, organizational stuff like groups of things, solar systems, galaxies. But the first answers I got were mostly about, like, you know, biggest stars and stuff. So then I started asking a slightly different question, which is like, do you think the galaxies are organized in any way, or are they just sort of sprinkled evenly through the universe? So we got a variety of answers.
Yeah. So as usual, you went out there into the streets of UC Irvine, or the pathways of UC Irvine, and you asked people this question.
The very beautifully cultivated Orange County campus of UC Irvine, which, by the way, if you haven't visited, really is gorgeous.
Full of smart and beautiful people, right?
That's right. Everybody down here is smart and beautiful. Exactly.
Here's what people had to say.
I think it would be the sun.
Okay.
I think because it has, like, the strongest impact on a lot of the different planets.
Thanks very much.
I know it gets a lot bigger, but I don't know, like, terms of it.
The galaxy. That's as far as I know.
Okay.
It goes.
No, I don't.
No idea? Okay.
Don't know that. I know it's usually referred to as, like, planetary neighborhoods, so that could be groupings of multiple galaxies, but... don't know the term for it.
Okay, great.
It's just like open space. You know,
okay.
It's like our universe and then a larger, I'm not sure what it's called, but
okay.
A larger area. And then there's more universes, like trillions and, you know, almost an infinite amount of like universes.
Okay, great.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right. It seems most people say the galaxies, right? Someone said the sun was the biggest thing in the universe. You know, they probably weren't thinking very big, but... galaxies, I think most people think about, right? Like there's nothing bigger out there than a galaxy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting to compare that to sort of historical understandings of what people thought. Remember, like 100 years ago, people looked out into the sky and they saw stars and like, okay, there are stars out there, just like there's our star. And they thought for a long time that the universe was just a bunch of stars sprinkled through the universe, that there was no organization to them, right? That was all there was. Basically, that the universe was one big galaxy.
So to them, a star was the biggest thing in the universe.
Yeah, a star, or you could say a solar system, but that's really a small difference. Mm-hmm. So to them, a star was the biggest thing in the universe. And then about 100 years ago, they looked at some of those really faint smears in the sky and discovered that those aren't faraway stars. They're actually faraway galaxies, right? Whole other clusters of stars. And that must have been a mind-blowing moment, because they realized, one, that stars do form structure, right? They turn into galaxies. Right. And two, that there are other ones, right? And the universe has lots of galaxies in it.
Right. That they're not sort of spread out evenly in the universe. They cluster into things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They form these big structures of galaxies. Right. And so now people, most of the folks we talk to, and maybe the people out there listening, probably imagine that the universe is just sprinkled evenly with galaxies, right? That's the next logical assumption.
Yeah.
That instead of just stars sprinkled everywhere, it's just galaxies sprinkled everywhere. Right. So I think that's probably what people think. They've heard of galaxies. They haven't heard of anything bigger. So they just assume the universe is evenly sprinkled with galaxies.
Right. Well, let's think philosophically here for a second. Is a galaxy a thing? You know, technically it's just made up of stars. What makes something a thing?
What makes something a thing? Yeah, I think there must be a lot of philosophers who've debated this, right? What is thingness? Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably a whole like branch of philosophy about defining objects and all sorts of stuff. And they have seminars and argue about it and smoke banana peels and stuff. But from the physics point of view, I think we can answer that and say that a thing is something that is gravitationally bound, something that is essentially held together by gravity.
Right. It's something that holds together. I was thinking, like, that's a good definition of a thing. Like, you and I, we're made up of billions and trillions of molecules and atoms, and they're sort of spread out a lot, right? There's just a lot of space between atoms, right, and nuclei of atoms.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, they're sort of held together into this thing that I call Jorge, and for you, the thing that you call Daniel.
Okay, are you talking about us individually or us as a pair? Because that's a different question. I'm definitely a thing. You're a thing. Yeah. Are we a thing? Is that what you're asking? Like, are we?
Daniel, are you asking me out? Or is this? Are you doing this on air?
Hey, you raised the question. You know, like, what's a thing? Are we a thing? So here we go. You know, Daniel and Jorge explore their relationship live on the tape.
Well, I mean, I like you, Daniel, but I would say that I'm a thing and you're a thing.
Ouch, man. Yeah. That's cold.
Yeah.
That's just the way the universe operates, though. If you don't have a strong bond, then you're not a thing, right?
Well, you know, I think we're just talking philosophically here, right? I think philosophically, we're not
absolutely
a thing.
No, philosophically or even scientifically, I think a thing is something that holds itself together. And like, is the solar system a thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the solar system is a thing because the Earth doesn't have a different path than the sun, right? It goes around the sun. It moves together as a single object. It's bound together gravitationally.
Just like maybe an electron, you know, sort of trapped going around a nuclei of an atom, together they make a thing, which is an atom.
Yeah, exactly.
So you could say like the solar system is a thing. And so a galaxy that's made out of a whole bunch of solar systems, you could also call that a thing because all of those galaxies, all of those solar systems are being held together.
Mm-hmm. And also like you and the Earth are a thing, right? Because you're held down to the Earth and together you form an object and, you know, you have the same fate as the Earth, gravitationally speaking. You move around the sun together, right? So collectively, we are all a thing with the Earth, right? And so, yeah, I think that's a pretty good definition.
So when we say things like, when we ask the question, what's the biggest thing in the universe, we're kind of asking, like, what's the biggest structure or what's the biggest thing that you can say is being held together differently than other things in the universe?
That's right. The thing that has thingness that is also the biggest.
Okay, so that's a good thing. We got that out of the way.
I think we've thinked about thinging enough, yes.
All right, let's get into the size of things, like the scale of us and the Earth and the solar system. But first, let's take a quick break.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're talking about the bigness of things and how what's the biggest thing in the universe. And let's start talking about the size of things. Let's start here on Earth. Like, how big is Earth, Daniel?
No, how big are you, Jorge?
How big? I'm a big. You mean like my largeness or my largess? Like, am I?
No, for scale, you know, like how many kilometers tall are you, Jorge?
Oh, how many kilometers? Oh boy, I am about.
Folks, you're hearing him do math.
0.0018 kilometers tall.
All right. That's not a lot of kilometers. I mean, you're a tall guy, it turns out, but that's actually not a lot of kilometers, right? And in comparison, like the Earth, right, is thousands of kilometers in width.
It's about 8,000 miles in diameter.
Yeah, that's right. Which would make it about, you know, like 14,000 kilometers in diameter. Mm-hmm. So compared to the Earth, you're just like a mote. You're like irrelevant. You're just like negligible, right?
Right. Yeah.
Which is incredible, right?
Right. We're like a little speck of dust next to the Earth.
Which makes me wonder sometimes, like, what's the minimum size for a planet that could hold life, right? Mm. Is it necessary? Because you know that book, The Little Prince?
Right.
Where the guy is this little guy and he's like on a tiny asteroid.
Yeah.
And I love that because I think it'd be really fun to be alive on a really small astronomical object where you could like run laps around it or something, right?
Wouldn't you float off at some point if you were that much bigger than your planet?
Exactly. You need enough gravity, not just for you to stay bound to it, but also to like have an atmosphere. Mm. If your planet isn't big enough, it can't hold on to gas on its surface, so you can't breathe. So there really is some sort of minimum size for a planet. Like Mars is probably too small, and you know it lost its atmosphere.
For life as we know it. I mean, there could potentially be something out there that can live without an atmosphere, right?
Yeah, right. You can have an asteroid which is alive inside of it, like the organization of the flows of lava or, you know, hot rock inside some object could be alive, certainly. But yeah, life as we know it, you know, that lives and breathes and uses water, liquid water and stuff like that, probably none of those things evolved on a planet that were much smaller than Earth.
Right. So the Earth is pretty big. So then what's the next biggest thing in our solar system?
Well, if you want to scale up to planets, Jupiter is about 10 times the radius of the Earth, right? Which is huge. And you might think, only 10 times? But remember that volume goes as radius cubed, right? So if you're 10 times the radius, then you're, you know, 1,000 times the volume, which means you could fit 1,000 Earths inside Jupiter.
1,000
Earths. Makes Earth, like, tiny.
We're 1/1,000th of the size of Jupiter.
Yeah, we're like a rounding error for Jupiter, right? it's incredible how small we are compared to Jupiter.
Like we make a good moon to Jupiter.
Exactly. I should look that up, but there might even be moons of Jupiter that are comparable to the size of Earth.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's amazing. So this is where I did some math. So I calculated that the size of the Earth is, as you said, about 4 kilometers in radius.
You just said it's 4 kilometers in radius.
Oh, sorry, 4,000
sure
miles.
You didn't mean.
Sorry.
What's the factor of 1,000 between friends?
Like, is my error.
Watch out, people. Jorge's doing math.
That's right. Don't trust a cartoonist to do math. 4,000 miles, sorry. 4,000 miles. But if the Earth was the size of a pinhead, like it was the size of the pin, the head in a pin, That means Jupiter would be about the size of a marble.
Wow. So if Earth really was a speck, Jupiter would still be pretty substantial.
Yeah. Yeah. And by that scale, the sun, which is about 430,000 miles in radius, would be about the size of a cantaloupe.
Wow. I think it's really pretty interesting that the Earth is 1/10 the radius of Jupiter, which is 1/10 the radius of the sun, right?
Right.
It's like powers of 10, right, all here in our solar system, each one dwarfing the next, you know, like that we are the size, that the Earth to Jupiter ratio is about the same as the Jupiter to sun ratio, right?
Right.
The sun dwarfs Jupiter exactly the way Jupiter dwarfs us.
Yeah.
Like if Jupiter was a bully pushing us around the playground and then the sun just sort of like trots up like, hey, pick on someone your own size, you know?
Yeah, like you could fit a thousand Earth inside of Jupiter and you could fit a thousand Jupiters inside the sun.
Yeah, when you do some math, that means you could fit a million Earths inside the sun,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like we could plunge into the sun and it wouldn't even notice.
It'd be like a little, right? Like a mosquito bite.
Exactly. Exactly. Like a millionth of you, that's like, you know, every time you blow your nose, you lose a millionth of your mass, right?
Yeah.
So we're like a little bit of snot compared to the sun.
Right, yeah. Okay, so then if we keep going, if the Earth is a pinhead and Jupiter is a marble and the sun is a cantaloupe, okay, so the right scale would be if you hold the pinhead in your hand, the sun would be, which is a cantaloupe, you would have to put it about 100 feet away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because not only is the sun really big, but it's really far away.
Right, yeah. Like imagine like holding a pinhead, then walking 100 feet and sending down a cantaloupe. That's how far the sun is.
Yeah, all these things, these things we think are huge are dwarfed by just the sheer emptiness of space, right? Like take the Earth to sun relationship, like most of that volume is just nothing, right?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And it kind of shows you how powerful gravity is at those scales, right? Like we go around the sun. That's our life. That's how we exist. That's what makes our existence possible. And yet it's like, it's a pinhead revolving around a cantaloupe 100 feet away.
That's right. Well, we're glad we're not any closer, right? Or we'd be a pretty toasty pinhead.
Pinhead, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then all of this, of course, is just dwarfed by the galaxy,
right?
If you look at the galaxy, you can't even find the sun, right? It's just a tiny dot.
How big is the Milky Way, Daniel?
The Milky Way is hard to even describe in these units, right? We've been talking about miles, and the Earth is thousands of miles, and the sun's radius is hundreds of thousands of miles, right? The Milky Way is 50,000 light years across, right? It takes light 50,000 years to cross the Milky Way.
Yeah.
If you convert that to miles, it's 3 × 10⁷ miles. So 3 and then 17 zeros, right? I actually looked up the scientific prefix for that because I don't even know. And the Milky Way is 1/3 of an examile.
An examile.
Examile. Isn't that pretty
cool?
That
sounds like a medical condition. I have examile.
I'm so sorry to hear that. You should get that cream they have for it.
So I did the math on this one too. Okay, so if the Earth is a pinhead and the sun is a cantaloupe 100 feet away, the galaxy is the size of our solar system.
Whoa. I thought you were going to say like a blue whale or like some other like really delicious food or something, but the solar system, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, yeah. It's about, it would be about 1.18 times 10 to the 11 meters.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how big the galaxy is. So imagine like a pinhead and a cantaloupe in our solar system, that's how big the galaxy is. And we are like a tiny thing on that pinhead.
Yeah, so as we were saying, it just gets dwarfed, right? And some of you guys out there might be wondering, like, well, are these things typical? Like, are the planets in our solar system typically the size you find in planets? Or is our sun normal? Is the Milky Way like an average kind of a galaxy? So we did a bit of digging there. And it turns out that the biggest planet that they found in any solar system anywhere is about 10 times the size of Jupiter, right?
So what? Like,
there's a planet out there that's huge.
That's almost the size of the sun.
Almost the size of the sun, yeah. So that's like a big planet. That's like a planet that's almost a sun in and of itself, right?
It's like literally a million times bigger than the Earth around in that order of magnitude.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is a big honking planet.
Man.
And stars also get really big. And stars change also in size in their lifetime, right? Like our sun is going to get bigger as it gets older. Mm-hmm. It's going to burn, and then the outer layers are going to get cooler and they're going to expand. And we did a whole episode on how the sun is going to die. But there are stars out there right now that are like 1,000 or 2,000 times as big as our sun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's huge. If you had that in our solar system, it would like envelop Saturn, you know, like it'd be no room for inner planets at all. It'd be pretty crazy. So
we would be inside the sun.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be inside the sun. Mm-hmm. And we will be in a few billion years. Our sun will also get huge and envelop the Earth, right?
Oh, great. Stock up on that sunblock and or rockets to other planets. Galaxies.
Yeah. But there's one other thing. The galaxies are not just stars with planets around them, right? There's other stuff. And there's the stuff that makes the stars, right? There's these huge clouds of gas and dust, which are like the leftovers from blown up solar systems and blown up stars that eventually coalesce to make these stellar nurseries where new stars are formed. And those things are really big.
Mm. How big are they?
They can be like 1,000 to 2,000 light years across, right?
Oh, wow.
So that's much, much bigger than any individual star. I mean, this is where stars are born, right? There's like fields of stars being created in these things.
Wow.
But still, they're small compared to the Milky Way, right? The Milky Way was like 53,000 light years across. The biggest nebula or gas cloud we've seen is like 2,000 light years across. So far, the galaxy is the biggest thing.
No, but it's interesting to think that there are objects kind of in the scale of things between our sun and the Milky Way galaxy. I mean, there's bigger stars, bigger planets, and these clouds of gas that you talked about.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about these clouds is that they look like something that's dynamic but is frozen in time, right? It's like, you know, if you see a picture of a steam engine and there's these puffs of clouds coming up from it, right? It's frozen in time, but you can tell that there's motion there, right? Mm. That it's like in the middle of chugging and puffing and boiling and churning, right?
Right.
These clouds look the same way. And they are boiling and churning, but just on very different timescales. You'd have to do like a crazy time lapse, like watch it for a billion years to see it roiling and toiling and bubbling and all that stuff. But it is. It's just that on our time scales, it hardly seems to be moving.
Yeah, and in that distance scale, because it's 1,000 light years across.
Yeah, exactly. So it really makes you feel insignificant, and it's really impressive like how dynamic the universe is. It's just on huge distance scales and huge time scales, right? It's like if there was a whole civilization that was birthed and then died in the middle of one puff of that steam engine,
wow.
Right? And the steam cloud was frozen, right? It was hardly moving, you know? And so that's the way we are. We're this tiny dot suspended in a sunbeam surrounded by all this crazy, very slow action.
Wow, yeah. And there are stars being born inside of that, like popcorn. Like pop, pop,
yeah,
pop.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. New stars still being born, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep going and see what the biggest thing in the universe is. But first, let's take another break.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth. Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
All right, we're building our way up to the biggest thing in the universe. And so far, we've gone from the Earth to the solar system to gas clouds to the Milky Way galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the people you talked to on the street thought that galaxies were the biggest things in the universe. But that's not actually true.
That's right. And they're pretty big, right? And our galaxy is, we said, 50,000 light years across. Mm-hmm. And some galaxies get pretty big. They get up to like millions of light years across, right?
Millions.
Galaxies can come at all different sizes, yeah.
It would take you millions of years going at the speed of light just to go from one side of that galaxy to the next.
Yeah, so if you like forgot your lunch at home and you work on the other side of the galaxy, like forget it, man.
That's a 10 million year round trip. Forget it.
That's right. The commute is terrible.
I am not.
And that's, you know, and that's when there's no traffic. When there's traffic, forget about it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. But so a lot of people thought that galaxies are just sprinkled everywhere through the universe. But, you know, galaxies have been around for a while. And so what's going to happen when you have stuff hanging out for a while is that gravity is going to start to pull it together, right? Oh. It's not perfectly smooth. There's slight differences, and there's a little bit more mass here, a little bit more mass there. And so over billions of years, galaxy will start to pull stuff together. And that's exactly what happened.
They started to kind of self-organize.
Yeah, or as you would say, form a thing, right?
Yeah.
And so the next level up from galaxies is that we found that galaxies are organized into these things we not very cleverly called clusters, right? So galaxy clusters.
Like nut clusters. Like
Yeah, I think again you should have had a snack before we had this before we recorded this episode.
I had my banana.
A galaxy cluster usually contains about 50 galaxies and it's like 5 or 10 million light years across.
Wow.
And again, remember a galaxy itself is like, you know, 50 or 100,000 light years across. So this is much bigger than one galaxy.
Right.
Has 50 galaxies, which are themselves pretty far apart, but they are organized, right?
Yeah.
They're not just like, it's not an arbitrary assignment. They're orbiting each other.
It's like a separate group of galaxies that's interacting and kind of holding together separate from other groups of galaxies.
That's right. They're all orbiting the center of mass of this cluster, right? The same way everything in the solar system is organized is orbiting the center of mass of the solar system, which happens to be the sun. Mm. And everything in the galaxy is orbiting the center of the galaxy. Everything in this cluster of galaxies is orbiting this center, which doesn't necessarily have anything in it at this point, right?
Wow. So that's the next biggest thing is a cluster of galaxies. It's like a structure.
Yeah.
It's like if you zoom out far enough, it would look like a thing. It would look like a...
Yeah, exactly.
Like a blob.
Exactly. And they're separated from other clusters, right? The distances between things in the cluster is small compared to the distances between the clusters. The same way the distances between the planets is small compared to the distances between solar systems, right?
Mm. It's like chocolate chips floating in cookie dough.
Tasty. Yeah, this is a tasty galaxy we're living in. You keep going, and the clusters themselves are organized into basically clusters of clusters.
Okay, so the cluster is not the biggest thing in it. So if galaxies had been sprinkled out evenly, you would say galaxies are the biggest thing in the universe, but they're not. They're organized into clusters. And if those clusters have been spread out evenly, you would say the cluster is the biggest thing in the universe, but there's another structure above clusters.
That's right. And, you know, this is just things that people discovered as they looked out into the universe and they did sort of the 3D mapping, right? They're trying to understand, like, where is stuff around us and how is it organized? And as we get better and better at measuring distance scales and better telescopes, we can see further out. We can build this sort of 3D map around us. And then we notice these patterns. We notice that things aren't just distributed. And so the clusters themselves are organized into clusters of clusters, which we call superclusters.
Mm.
And I feel like these objects got like kind of a bad rap, you know, because cluster is not a very creative name. I mean, the galaxy is not just called like a star cluster, right? It's got its own cool name, galaxy, yeah. Right? But nobody named the, you know, cluster of galaxies other than cluster of galaxies.
Yeah. And somebody named its superior a supercluster, which means the cluster is like not super. It's like saying, this is Daniel, and this is Super Daniel.
Cluster.
Imagine how poor Daniel feels.
Are you saying
feels.
I'm not super? I think you're saying I'm not super. I'm getting a lot of rejection here
I'm saying you're the Super Daniel. There's another Daniel.
I got to go find the sub Daniel and make him feel small.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The under Daniel.
What I need really is a cluster of Daniels. You know, that would be pretty awesome. What is the biggest Daniel in the universe? That's really the question of today's podcast.
Well, let's come up with a name. Let's you and I christen clusters of galaxies. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, you're the creative one. Go ahead.
I don't know. A banana of galaxies. Banaxis. Banaxis. It's a Banaxis of galaxies. That's the
Banaxis of galaxies. Yeah. That really rolls off the tongue. That's beautiful. Yeah. In some alternate version of the multiverse, you were definitely a poet.
Well, I'm technically the first person, and if there are any scientists out there, you technically have to quote me now when you refer to these.
You shouldn't just reach for the snack that's on your table. You should go deeper. You should think about you know, Greek mythology or some sort of historical event or something to motivate you. Like,
I think they had bananas in Greece. Come on.
How about the Union? Let's give it a political name, right? Let's call them the Union of Galaxies.
The Union of Concerned, right?
Because they're
galaxies.
Organized. There you go. Stand together. Speak as one. Yeah. Orbit together.
Yes, we can.
So the galaxies form clusters, and the clusters form superclusters.
What does that mean? So like a...
Well, the same way that, stars organize into a galaxy and galaxies organize into a cluster, galaxy clusters themselves, you just think of each of those as like a little dot. Mm-hmm. Then about, 100 of those together, which spans about 100 million light years across, form what we call a supercluster.
Oh my God, it's giving me a headache to think about these scales.
Yeah.
So this is a cluster of clusters of galaxies, which have billions of stars, and each star has planets, and each planet might have little people like us.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so these superclusters, I mean, they're enormous. It's hard to even really think about these distances, 100 million light years.
Yeah. You mean super banaxes.
Super unions, yeah, exactly. And so that's pretty incredible. And people figured that out. They thought, wow, that's pretty big stuff, you know?
So you said there are 100 million light years across.
Yeah, they're 100 million light years across. And so then people started to look to see are those organized in some way?
Are those the biggest things in the universe?
Yeah, are those the biggest thing in the universe? And so that's when the real shock arrived, because it started to sort of look like they were just sprinkled evenly. Mm. But then they noticed that in one direction it went on, superclusters just sort of went on for a long way. In another direction, they stopped. And, they're sort of building this 3D picture around us. And it turned out that we were in sort of a thick sheet. Like, there's like a great wall of superclusters as far as we can see. Like, wow. We are one supercluster sprinkled with a bunch of other superclusters, but it's not as thick as it is wide.
Oh. It's organized into like a sheet, like a table.
Yeah. Like a sheet. And then people started to look like, well, what's in that spot when the superclusters run out, right? So they built the map further and further and further. And then they discovered, it's not a sheet of superclusters. It's more like a bubble, right?
What?
And so the superclusters are organized into these like massive bubbles that surround these huge voids in which there's nothing.
Whoa.
So
like, yeah. Super clusters of galaxies form a bubble, like they're on the surface of a bubble.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like very regular bubbles. It's more like there are these filaments and sheets and empty spaces. They're not like the bubbles are spherical or anything.
Mm.
But there's, it's like, if you zoom out far enough, it's like a froth, right? It's like, it's like a froth of these little bubbles, and each bubble, the surface of that bubble, like the thin skin of that bubble, is thousands and thousands of superclusters of galaxies.
Oh my God.
It's pretty crazy. And so we live on the edge of some little bubble. And in that void, I mean, those voids are billions of light years across with nothing in them.
Nothing.
Wow. Nothing. I mean,
no
empty space, which of course is never really empty. And, you know, maybe like one rock got kicked out of a cluster one day and wandered into the voids, but essentially nothing.
Wow. And those bubbles are about billions of light years across.
They're billions of light years across, exactly.
Wow.
And that's pretty incredible. And then, you know, that's it.
Wait, so that's the biggest thing in the universe, the bubble of superclusters of clusters of galaxies, of stars, of planets, of people.
Yeah, exactly. And if you zoom out far enough, as far as we know, then it just looks smooth. There's no more organization.
It's just more bubbles.
Yeah, the bubbles are just sprinkled evenly. It's not like the bubbles form circles or form sheets or form groups or anything like that. We think that they are just organized. They're just sprinkled there.
Huh. The universe is frothy.
Yeah, and it really is frothy. And the thing I like thinking about the most is where that froth came from, right? Like, and it's really connected to the first few moments of the universe. For those of you who remember like talking about the Big Bang and the cosmic microwave background, we've looked back in time also, and we've seen the early few moments of the universe. And what we see there is froth, right? It's like quantum randomness, which generated the initial seeds for all the structure of the universe. That's this structure we're talking about. So little random fluctuations in the early universe led directly to these huge structures that we're seeing now.
Wow.
Why do we have a bubble here and not there? Because of some random quantum particle fluctuation 14 billion years ago.
At the Big Bang, in a space, in a really small space.
Yeah, exactly. And then it got stretched out by inflation and became the seed of structure in the universe. And that's the structure we're talking about.
Wow. So that these bubbles sort of, you might say, kind of came first, right? Like the universe, the biggest thing in the universe has always been a bubble.
Well, you know, there were those sort of quantum froth. And I don't know if you could really call those bubbles. They're just like areas where there's more density and less density.
Yeah.
But I just want to make the connection and have people understand that the structure that we see in the universe today was determined in some sense by that quantum froth that happened in the early universe.
Well, it just scaled up and scaled up and scaled up. And that's what gives us the biggest things in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Super Banach's bubbles.
Exactly. And the fascinating thing is thinking about why there isn't any bigger structure. Like, why don't those bubbles form structure? I said earlier, like, anytime you got stuff hanging out, gravity is going to start to organize it, right? And that's true, but it also takes a while. Gravity's not very strong, remember. It's the weakest force by orders of magnitude. And so even though it's the dominant thing in the universe on these scales and these timelines, it's not very powerful. So it takes a long time. It takes billions of years to form this structure.
But wait, do we know for sure that these bubbles and this froth of super-duper clusters, that's it? That's the biggest thing in the universe? We're pretty sure there's nothing bigger?
We're pretty sure. We know nothing for sure, but we've been building this map, this 3D map of the universe, and that's all we see. Yeah. Mm. And it could be that we haven't, you know, just seen far enough, but we've seen pretty far, and it just looks like these bubbles and filaments and strands and sheets, you know, it's these superclusters form these surfaces, but that's about it. You know, there's no organization to those bubbles or sheets as far as we know.
Wow.
And I think the reason is that there just hasn't been enough time, right? Mm. The universe is old. But it's done a lot in those 14 billion years. I mean, that's a lot of galaxies to make and a lot of superclusters to organize and a lot of bubbles and filaments, right?
A lot of bananas to make.
A lot of bananas, yeah. And, you know, earlier in the universe, there was less structure, right? And so these structures have formed gradually over time. You know, in the first billion years after the Big Bang, we didn't have any galaxies, right?
Mm.
Right. And so it takes a while for these structures to form. So it might be that you wait another 50 billion years and then you make something else. Something new is crowned as the biggest thing in the universe. And then we call on you, Jorge, to give it a silly name after some fruit you like.
A bigger one. Bigger Jorge.
A bigger fruit. Yeah, exactly.
You mean like in the future, billions of years from now, maybe these bubbles will form into something like a mega bubble or a giant smiley face. Who knows?
It might be. On the other hand, we've also talked a few times about dark energy. That's this mysterious force that's pushing everything apart, right? That's creating new space between galaxies. So that's making that actually harder to make new structure because it's spreading everything out.
It's ripping everything apart.
Exactly. It's ripping everything apart. So it might just be that we are living in the moment when we will have the biggest structures ever in the universe, that this is like a tipping point and that after this, things just get shredded. And this is like the biggest we ever got.
Like in the future, everything will just be spread out evenly with no discernible structure.
Yeah, it could be, right? Wow. And that's always weird when you come to the realization that you're living in a special moment. It makes you skeptical. You're like, well, that's sort of, I mean, how could that be? We'd just be lucky.
Seems like a coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. Seems like a coincidence. And in science, we don't like coincidences. I mean, they happen. But every time there's a coincidence, it's an opportunity to ask why and to maybe get a revealing answer. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation and a lot we don't know.
It's like every generation thinks that they live in the peak of their culture.
Every generation thinks they have the best music ever.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And it's just downhill from there.
Yeah, the kids today, man, they don't know what good music is. That's kind of what you're saying.
Kids today, they don't know what a supercluster is, exactly.
So that's kind of what you're saying, is that you're saying we live in peak universal structure. Like things are just kind of might be just downhill from here. And this is the most structure we'll see ever. Like these big things in the universe might at some point kind of get ripped apart and dissolve.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize again, a lot of this is speculation because we don't know what the future of dark energy is, right? And there could be other things we don't know about how the universe is organized. We're still really babies when it comes to understanding this stuff. Mm-hmm. But that certainly could be. We don't see any bigger structure, and we have reason to think that dark energy really could prevent more structure from being formed. It could even shred the structures we have. So yeah, we could be living at peak structure, right?
Wow.
So be glad that you were alive right now when you could look out into the stars and see the biggest thing in the universe. Yeah.
Well, that's the answer to the question we set out to talk about, which is what is the biggest thing in the universe? And right now, the biggest thing in the universe are these bubbles of superclusters of galaxies.
Yeah, and it also might be the biggest thing ever in the universe.
In the infinity of time, they might be the biggest thing ever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
In the history of the universe.
In this infinitely long podcast. All right, so I think we answered the question.
Yeah.
I hope we took you on a fun mental trip from mind-blowingly small to mind-blowingly huge and made you realize where you are in our cosmic neighborhood.
We hope you had a very large time thinking about these huge scales.
And Jorge is over there doing some math to figure out what fruit associates with the cluster of superclusters.
How big would that banana have to be to fit inside of a galactic?
If you added up all the bananas you've eaten over your life, how big would that banana be, Jorge?
It would be a galaxy of potassium, probably.
Probably. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to this biggest podcast ever.
See you next time.
If you still have a question after listening to all these explanations, please drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Daniel and Jorge. That's one word. Or email us at feedback@danielandjorge.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
my check engine light's on?
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free. Get in the
zone. This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free. Get in the
zone. But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.